Reading from The Unknown Reality, Volume 2 by Jane Roberts, a Seth book. All right, we are at session 710, and let me just say that there are pre-session notes about Appendix 15. So I'm going to leave that for when I read Appendix 15. I'll just come back to this. But for now, we'll just go into Seth's dictation on session 710. Seth states, "To explore the unknown reality, you must venture within your own psyche. Travel inward through invisible roads as you journey outward on physical ones. Your material reality is formed through joint cooperation. Your own ideas objectified become a part of the physical environment. In this vast cooperative venture, the thoughts and feelings of each living being take root, so to speak, springing up as objectified data. I said that each system of reality uses its own codified system. This effectively provides a sort of framework. Generally speaking, then, you agree to objectify certain inner data privately and in mass at any given quote-unquote time. In those terms, the airplane objectified the inner idea of flying in your, in quotes, your time. And not in AD 1500, for example. You may have heard people say of an idea, quote, its time has not yet come, end quote. This simply means that there is not enough energy connected with the idea to propel it outward into the world of physical experience as an objective mass experienced event. In the dream state and in certain other levels of reality, ideas and their symbols are immediately experienced. There is no time lag, then, between a feeling and its quote-unquote exteriorized condition. It is automatically experienced in whatever form is familiar and natural to the one who holds it. The psyche is presented with its own concepts, which are instantly reflected in dream situations and other events that will be explained shortly. If you dream of or yearn for a new house in physical life, for instance, it may take some time before that ideal is realized, even though such a strong intent will most certainly bring about its physical fulfillment. The same desire in the dreaming state, however, may lead to the instant creation of such a house as far as your dream experience is concerned. Again, there is no time lag there between desire and its materialization. Now, there are levels within dreams, highly pertinent but mainly personal, in that they reflect your own private intents and purposes. There are other levels further away in your terms that involve mass behavior on a psychic level, where together the inhabitants of the physical world plan out future events. Here, probabilities are recognized and utilized. Symbolism is used. There is such an interweaving of intent that this is difficult to explain. Private desires here are magnified as they are felt by others, or minimized accordingly, so that in the overall, large general plans are made having to do with the species at any given time, in quotes. Here, again, these desires and intents must fit into the codified system as it exists. At these levels, you are still close to home. Beyond, there are layers of actuality in which your psyche is also highly involved, and these may or may not appear to have anything to do with the world that you know. When you travel into such realms, you usually do so from the dream state, still carrying your private symbols with you. Even here, these are automatically translated into experience. This is not your own codified system, however. You may journey through such a reality, perceiving it opaquely, layering it over with your own perceived symbols, and taking those for the quote-unquote real environment. In these terms, the real environment will be that which was generally perceived by the natural inhabitants of the system. To begin with, your own symbols rise from deep levels of the psyche, and in certain terms, you are a part of any reality that you experience, but you may have difficulty in the interpretation of events. If you are in a world not yours, with your consciousness drifting, you are in free gear, so to speak, your feelings and thoughts flowing into experience. You have to learn how to distinguish your psychological state from the reality in which you find yourself, if you want to maintain your alertness and explore that environment. Many of my readers find themselves in just such situations while they are sleeping. While still dreaming, they seem to come suddenly awake in an environment that appears to make no sense. Demons may be chasing them. The world may seem topsy-turvy. The dead and the living may meet and speak. In almost all instances, demons in dreams represent the dreamer's belief in evil, instantly materialized. They are not the inhabitants of some netherworld, then, or underground. We will be giving some instructions that will enable readers to experiment with the projection of consciousness at least to some extent. It is very important for you to realize that even in dreams, you form your own reality. Your state of mind, freed from its usual physical focus, creatively expresses itself in all of its power and brilliance. The state of mind itself serves as an intent, propelling you into realities of like conditions. In your world, you travel from one country to another, and you do not expect them to be all alike. Instead, you visit various parts of the world precisely because of the differences among them. So all out-of-body journeys do not lead to the same locale. Instinctively, you leave your body for varying amounts of time each night while you sleep. But those journeys are not, quote-unquote, programmed. You plan your own tours, in other words. As many people with the same interests may decide to visit the same country together on tour, so in the out-of-body condition, you may travel alone or with companions. If you are alert, you may even take snapshots. Only as far as inner tours are concerned, these snapshots consist of clear pictures of the environment taken at the time, developed in the unconscious, and then presented to the waking mind. There are techniques for using cameras, and a camera left at home will do you little good abroad. So it is the conscious alert mind that must take these pictures if you hope to later make sense of your inner journeys. That conscious reasoning mind must therefore be taken along. There are many ways of doing this, methods not really difficult to follow. Certain techniques will help you pack your conscious mind for your journey as you would pack your camera. It will be there when you need it to take the pictures that will be your conscious memories of your journey. You must remember that the objective world also is a projection from the psyche. Because you focus in it primarily, you understand its rules well enough to get along. A trip in the physical world merely represents the decision to walk or to choose a particular kind of vehicle. A car will not carry you across the ocean, so you take a ship or a plane. You are not astonished to see that the land suddenly gives way to water. You find that natural alteration quite normal. You expect time to stay in its place, however. The land may change to water, for example, but today must not change into yesterday in the same fashion, or into tomorrow in the beginning of today's afternoon. Walking down the avenue, you expect the trees to stay in their places and not transform themselves into buildings. All of these assumptions are taken for granted in your physical journeys. You may find different customs and languages, yet even these will be accepted in the vast overall basic assumptions within whose boundaries physical life occurs. You are most certainly traveling through the private and mass psyche when you so much as walk down the street. The physical world seems objective and outside of yourself, however. The idea of such outsideness is one of the assumptions upon which you build that existence. Interior traveling is no more subjective than a journey from New York to San Francisco. You are used to projecting all destinations outside of yourself. The idea of varied inward destinations, involving motion through time and space, therefore appears strange. Generally speaking, you have explored the physical planet enough so that you have a good idea of what to expect as you travel from country to country. Before a trip, you can produce travel folders that outline the attractions and characteristics of certain locale. You are not traveling blind, therefore, and while any given journey may be new to you, you are not really a pioneer. The land has been mapped, and there are few basic surprises. The inner lands have not been as well explored. To say the least, they lie in virgin territory as far as your conscious mind is concerned. Others have journeyed to some of these interior locales, but since they were indeed explorers, they had to learn as they went along. Some, returning, provided guidebooks or travel folders, telling us what could be expected. You make your own reality. If you were from a foreign land and asked one person to give you a description of New York City, you might take his or her description for a reality. The person might say, quote, "New York City is a frightful place in which crime is rampant. Gangs roam the streets. Murderers and rapes are the norm, and people are not only impolite, but ready to attack you at a moment's notice. There are no trees. The air is polluted, and you can expect only violence." End quote. If you asked someone else, the individual might say instead, quote, "New York City has the finest museums, open-air concerts in some of the parks, fine sculpture, theater, and probably the greatest collection of books outside of the Vatican. It has a good overall climate, a great mixture of cultures. In it, millions of people go their way daily in freedom." End quote. Both people would be speaking about the same locale. Their description would vary because of their private beliefs and would be colored by the individual focus from which each of them viewed that city. One person might be able to give you the city's precise location in terms of latitude and longitude. The other might have no such knowledge and say instead, quote, "I take a plane at such and such a place at such and such a time, giving New York City as my destination. And if I take the proper plane, I always arrive there." End quote. Explorers traveling into inner reality, however, do not have the same kind of landmarks to begin with. Many have been so excited with their discoveries that they wrote guidebooks long before they even began to explore the inner landscape. They did not understand that they found what they wanted to find, or that the seemingly objective phenomena originated in the reflections of the psyche. You may, for example, have read books numbering the quote, inner realms, end quote, and telling you what you can expect to encounter in each. Many of these speak of lords or gods of the realm or of demons. In a strange way, these books do provide a service, for at certain levels, you will find your own ideas materialized. And if you believe in demons, then in those terms, you will encounter them. The authors, however, suppose that the devils have a reality outside of your belief in them, and such is not the case. Therefore, whatever methods the authors use to triumph over these demons is often given as proof not only of the demon's reality, but of each method's effectiveness. Now, if you read such books, you may often program your activity along those lines, in the same way that a visitor to New York City might program experience of the city in terms of what he or she had been told existed there. That kind of structuring also does a disservice, however, for it prevents you from coming in contact with your own original concepts. There is no reason, for example, to encounter any demons or devils in any trance or out-of-body condition. In such cases, your own hallucinations blind you to the environment within which they are projected. When your consciousness is not directly focused in physical reality, then, the great creativity of the psyche is given fuller play. All of its dimensions are faithfully and instantly produced as experience when you learn to take your, quote, normally alert, end quote, when you learn to take your normally alert conscious mind with you. And when you are free of such limiting ideas, then, at those levels, you can glimpse the inner powers of your own psyche and watch the interplay of beliefs and symbols as they are manifested before your eyes. Until you learn to do this, you will most certainly have difficulty, for you will not be able to tell the difference between your projections and what is happening in the inner environment. Any exploration of inner reality must necessarily involve a journey through the psyche. And these effects can be thought of as atmospheric conditions, natural at a certain stage, through which you pass as you continue. Okay, so that is the end of this session, and all of these notes I'm going to, well, I'm not going to read stuff like that, but I'm going to read when I read the 15th appendix, appendix 15. And the notes are really short on this one. And again, there's other stuff over here, as you can see. But it goes along with appendix 15, so there's no point in reading it. Alright, so these session notes are either information that's going to come in later sessions, unnecessary to read, and already referenced appendix 12. We'll get to that later. And the Seth material, chapter 14. If you haven't read chapter 14, that might be an interesting chapter for you.